part six. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott.
AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 66, part six.
Six.
Heavy metal episode.
And I don't know why we didn't ask God to stick around for that and do the aha part. You think he would have done a good job?
I think we're going to talk like God the rest of the show.
Oh, I don't know about that, John.
No, that might get completely out of hand.
Not at all. I think we sound great, don't we, Scott? I think he sprinkled some pixie dust on us, don't you think? Maybe, John. I feel so heavy metal right now.
It is the 66 part 6 episode.
There, how about if we do it like this? Then we sound more like the devil.
There's a fine line between the devil and God, is there, John?
No, yes, Scott. I hope you're scared, listeners, because this is it. It's time. It's the end. End of time.
End of times are here, John.
Yes, they are. I am Beelzebub.
And I'm Scott.
What the fuck is wrong with us, man? What am I doing?
The Beelzebub and Scott Show.
All right, sorry about that. I got carried away. All this shit about us, the thing, the whatever we're doing.
The thing, being, the podcast.
Yeah, production values.
Right. All right, this is the heavy metal of the part three. Part six. If you missed part one, we had Rick in talk about his angioplasty.
He brought his doctor, Dr.
And why
George.
We missed Duffy's Wednesday night to see the Spasmatics.
That's right.
But we'll be there this Wednesday night, John, to see the Spasmatics. And we're going to bring Rick along.
Yes.
Even though he just had an angioplasty on Thursday.
Right. 95% blocked.
And then in part two, you miss God. God showed up in
That's
the studio,
right.
And we talked Bible stories. Now, go ahead and tell them about part three, four, five, and now we're on part six. So what did they miss in part three, four, and five, John?
Some other stuff that
part
we did.
Part three, they missed celebrity news. Part four, science news.
Right.
In part five, they missed a very special pre-recorded bit with John and Scott.
Oh.
When we went to the Illinois State Fair. So check that out.
Oh,
now you're in part six.
That's right.
Episode 66, part six, John.
We'll put that together in post.
Right. All right, John. In part three, we always love to talk about the W.
Yes.
Let's get right into the W right away.
Yes.
Anti-W shirt okay in school, court says. Get this, John. A middle school that censored the anti-drug, anti-Bush message on a student's T-shirt violated the boy's right to free speech. An appeals court ruled Wednesday. The shirt bore images of cocaine and a martini glass in addition to messages calling President W a lying drunk driver who abused cocaine and marijuana, and a chicken hawk in chief,
Mary Jane,
who was engaged in a world domination tour.
Cool.
Zachary Giles, then a seventh grader, wore the shirt once a week for 2 months in the early 2004 and refused to cover the images after a parent and student complained. Okay, I can see a parent complaining, but a student complaining?
Yeah, right.
I'm he really was suspended for one day that May, and the next day wore the shirt with duct tape covering the images. Williamstown Middle School Principal Kathleen Morris Courts said the images violated the school dress code, which prohibits clothing that promotes the use of drugs or alcohol. But the second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New York said in a 3-0 ruling that the school had no right to censor any part of the shirt. The pictures are an important part of a political message Giles wished to convey, John, accentuating the anti-drug and anti-Bush or W message.
Well, I could see the anti-drug and anti-alcohol. They're trying to say, what was the kid trying to say? He was anti-Bush or he was anti-drug, alcohol, and anti-Bush?
All of the above, John.
Okay. Well,
all of the above.
That's great.
Giles, now 15, said he was pleased with the ruling.
And this was a public school, right?
Yes. I think this is a very good sign that even with the current administration, which we call a regime, John,
right,
and the way the country is going, there can still be a justice that allows free speech. And hear, hear. Because they're trying to take our free speech away, John.
Well, I don't think we could do this podcast if it wasn't for that
little thing
free
called
speech.
The Fourth Amendment.
That's right.
Or is it the First Amendment? Come on. Look that up on Wikipedia. I think it's the First Amendment.
Guns,
free speech, baby. Free. Yeah. The freedom to speak freely. Unless Bush is entertaining who? From China.
Who?
And you speak out against him. Then you
right.
go to jail.
You're done.
In America.
Unbelievable. One time, not band camp. At a job I had before, I used to have really long hair and a ponytail.
No.
Yes.
Really?
And somebody came up to me and said, you know, you better cut that. I said, why is that? Because you're going to get a notice from corporate. I said, what? F off. Well, then later on, I got harassed because I had a calendar up. And it was a non-smoking calendar. It was a chick wearing a half shirt, nothing exposed, completely. She was wearing shorts and a half shirt with a big cigarette with the circle, red circle with the line through it. And this chick, really hot-looking chick from the HR department, told me I had to take it down.
Agreed.
Huh?
Agreed. I totally agree with the hot chick from HR.
Well, nowadays I agree, right? But if it was in the company's best interest, I'd take it down. But F her. Who the hell is she? Is she making a judgment for the company?
Yes, she's from HR, Human Resources.
Well, here's the thing. It was a calendar that was issued by the company.
Oh.
Japanese calendar. I worked for a Japanese company, and it had the company logo across the top.
Well, how could she tell you to take that down, then?
Because she was offended by it.
Well, then take it up with the president of the company.
So you know what I did? What did
you do?
I put a big piece of tape across the breasts of the woman.
Yeah.
And I wrote censored across it.
Nice.
But then you know what else I did?
No, I don't
know
what else
I did. I took a razor knife, and I cut her breasts out.
The girl who complained?
No. The poster.
The poster.
I put a backing behind it of a picture of some real breasts, naked breasts, and I cut out where the chick's shirt would be on the poster. So if you wanted to see breasts,
you could lift
it up and look at naked breasts. Otherwise, you close it and it still said censored.
And how long did you last at that job?
I left it. No, I lasted 9 years.
9 years?
I left it there, and she didn't hassle me once because I put it there. And then later on, there was a dress code thing put on a bulletin board, and I drew the sickle and a hammer for the Soviet Union.
Right.
Russia.
Pinkos. Commies. Pinkos, man.
I did it on the fucking board. John, please come up to the HR department. John,
is that the Lord? Please. Is the Lord back?
No, this is over the PA system at the company I work for. Yeah, they questioned me about that. What the F is, what's up with that?
What'd you say to that?
I told them I didn't like it. I didn't like it. I said, it's crap.
It's crap. It's like pinko. It's like communism.
They wanted us because we worked in the warehouse and it was like 500 Brazilian degrees out there. So we wore shorts and a t-shirt in the summer. That if we came up to the main office, we had to put sweatpants on. Because the women were offended by our legs.
That's crap. Which you, one? Your third leg?
Well, no. You look more like an idiot walking around wearing fucking pajamas up in a main office than you did. And I saw the UPS man delivering something, and he was wearing shorts. And I said, how come he can deliver wearing
well, that's
shorts?
The UPS man. He can deliver. You
whatever.
Know what I'm saying, John? He can deliver to the back door. You know what I'm saying?
But I totally... no doubt, Scott. But I learned now that, you know, if you own a company and it's you're the boss and you don't want somebody to do something, that's cool. I'm all... That's fine. But if it's somebody who is just making up their own mind about it and it's not the company's policy... That's complete bullshit in my mind.
BS, John. BS.
So I was always the rebel.
All right, you got an Arnold Schwarzenegger soundboard?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's right, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Because get this story, John.
I always got Arnold ready.
California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger says if President W.
Give me a break and shut up.
Offered help in his reelection campaign, he would turn the W down.
Wow.
Don't fucking bullshit me.
I would say this is something that I can handle myself. Schwarzenegger told ABC
no,
News.
No, he said this.
I work alone.
I think that is something that is between me and the people of California. Schwarzenegger,
California,
who last year lost 4 referendum votes he campaigned for, has bounced back by working with Democrats in the legislature and has seen his approval rating in California climb from 36 to 49%,
wow.
John.
I'm not a pervert.
So the W, I'm sorry, the Schwarzenegger says hell no to the W.
Fuck you.
That's
fuck
what
you,
he says.
You son of a bitch.
Wow. Well, that's great.
Get this, John. You know, we did some stories about Mel Gibson
yes.
being an anti-Semite.
Yes.
And calling a cop sugar tits.
Yes.
But in an upcoming book about presidential advisor Karl Rove reported allegations of anti-Semitism by guess who, John?
Really?
The W.
No.
In The Architect, Karl Rove and the Master Plan for Absolute Power, Austin-based journalist James Moore and Wayne Slater, senior political reporter for the Dallas Morning News, will allege that Bush once made anti-Semitic comments to a reporter. You know what I'm going to tell those Jews when I get
no,
to Israel?
No, he didn't say that.
Yeah, he said this. You know
no
what I'm
going
to tell those Jews when I get to Israel?
And
don't
that's
you?
The truth.
Don't you, Herman? A then-Governor George W. allegedly asked a reporter for the Austin American Statesman. When the journalist Ken Herman replied that he did not know, Bush reportedly delivered the punchline. I'm gonna tell them they're all going to hell.
Question.
This quip never received wider media attention, and TTN obtained a copy of The Architect late this week. Bush's thoughts on the fate of the non-Christian souls became a minor source of controversy after he told the Houston Post in 1993 that only those who accept Jesus Christ will go to heaven, John. Therefore, the future president also earlier briefly engaged. He was also... Earlier, briefly engaged, John.
In masturbation?
To a half-Jewish woman.
Wow.
The authors of The Architect assert that religion and ethnicity have been manipulated by Bush and Rove to divide and conquer the nation. So there you go. Not only Mel Gibson, but the W is anti-Semite,
yeah.
John. Anti-Semite.
I believe it.
And I just don't understand the hatred for the Jews. Is it because we're not religious? We don't understand it? Because we're atheists?
I don't
buy any of that crap?
I don't know.
Because we're atheists, who cares? I don't care.
Well, what I don't understand is what's the big... The Jews started the whole Bible thing. The Old Testament is Jewish. And 90% of the New Testament is all based on old Jewish scripture.
Stuff, John.
Stuff! It is. It's all based on that shit, isn't it?
It is.
Stuff.
Based on what?
This is recycled... stuff.
Can you believe that's our president, man?
I can't.
Mr. President, what do you base this all on?
This is recycled stuff.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks for that.
We'll be hearing more about the W later. But I never could understand this backlash against the Jews. What is the big goddamn freaking deal about the Jews?
And I don't know.
Is it because that we haven't been raised in this traditional Catholic or Christian background that is part of the curriculum of that hates the Jews? Is that it? I don't know. I got to talk to Mel Gibson. That's who I got to talk to.
They're pissed off at the Jews because they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior.
So what?
Everybody's like, hey, man, how could you not fucking believe that? That's blasphemy.
But if you're Christian, isn't it turn the other cheek?
You're right. Absolutely.
Turn the other cheek. And, hey, the Jews, if you really believe that, the Jews are going to meet their maker, and they're going to go right to hell,
yeah,
right?
What do you care?
So the story is no surprise that the W thinks they're all going to hell, because he totally buys into this Christian crap. And not only that, the God, the Lord, John, talks to the W.
Right.
At least that's what he tells us, that he has conversations with the Lord.
And you heard
I heard it.
You heard Rick. He's not all Catholic, and he wasn't praying to God as he went under the knife.
Under the knife to the carotid artery.
Yeah. He was slipping the orderly a 10 to make sure nobody was, you know, slipping underneath his gown.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I don't get it, man. I do not get it. All right, John. Are you ready to play the Ronald Dumsfeld clip?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This happened earlier in the week, and the Bush regime and Rumsfeld, I mean, it's a fucking laughingstock. It's a goddamn joke. It's embarrassing to be an American when these two fucking idiots decide they're going to talk.
Oh, I'm not embarrassed about being an American. We're fucking hardcore American, red, white, and blue all the way through. It's embarrassing to have this kind of group supposedly leading this country.
Supposedly, they are leading the country.
They're not leading it.
They're leading us right down the goddamn drain,
John. They're not leading me. They're
not
leading TTN or anybody.
Individually, they're
not
leading us, but they're leading this country. They're the representatives of the United States of America, John. And it's goddamn embarrassing when either of these two idiots open their mouth, and we'll hear this now.
Idiot!
From the Donald Rumsfeld. Right. The Donald Dumsfeld.
Just hit it?
Hit it, man.
All right.
Indeed, in the decades before World War II, a great many argued that the fascist threat was exaggerated, or that it was someone else's problem. It was, as Winston Churchill observed, a bit like feeding a crocodile, hoping it would eat you last. Once again, we face similar challenges in efforts to confront the rising threat of a new type of fascism. But some seem not to have learned history's lessons. And that is important in any long struggle or long war where any kind of moral or intellectual confusion about who and what is right or wrong can weaken the ability of free society.
Yeah, right.
And let's talk about intellectual confusion. I don't have intellectual confusion. These fucking monkeys running the country have intellectual confusion, John.
Man,
intellectual confusion.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
Who does?
I don't know. I wish somebody would steal our monkey in charge.
And they talk about this long struggle in fascism. Fascism, there's no terrorist organization that can take over a country. They just, it can't happen.
You got to have money.
You got to have money, and some, maybe they have a little bit of money. But this whole crap that's going on in Iraq, that's not about terrorism.
Did you see the thing on ABC about the seven? It was all about the seven ways we could all just, the Earth is toast. We're all dead.
How? What are the seven
ways? Well, I can't remember all seven, but one was gamma radiation. I mean, you get a total sunburn in your basement.
How?
That's how powerful it is. Gamma radiation was one. Death by a black hole, because they kind of float around now. They found out they all float around. And if we got sucked up into one, we'd start stretching. And as we'd stretch, we'd start to break off into little pieces, because the gravity from the Earth would be holding us down. The gravity from the black hole would be stretching us out. A giant super volcano, cover the Earth with ash, an asteroid.
Yeah, whatever. Bottom line.
Okay, bottom line. Number two on the list was nuclear war. And of all the experts...
You mean nuclear?
Nuclear. Nuclear war.
Nuclear.
Of all the experts polled about this this possibility of destruction, they were not worried about the Koreans, the Iranians, or the terrorists. Not at all. They were worried about the Americans and the Russians, the Soviet Union. Because we stockpile the most nuclear warheads, us and the Soviet Union. Even after the Cold War, we have not dismantled all that stuff. And they've estimated that just 20 warheads would put us into nuclear winter and we all pretty much die.
Perish, baby. Perish.
And that's the biggest fear. And the scenarios they put together were accidental. It might accidentally happen because one shoots one off and they go, uh-oh, here comes one. War games, you know, and the other guy fires one. And by the time they start hitting, there's a bunch of them in the air. Hey, you know, Terminator 3.
There you go.
They came out and said,
John Connor. Are you John Connor?
He said, they've been, all these time travelers have been trying to tell us. It's inevitable. It's going to happen anyway. So they put us, the whole thing was to lead us down into this place so we can start procreating again. That's why he was left with that chick at the end of the movie, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I don't believe it's inevitable. I don't believe that. But I got to tell you.
I don't either, but it's one of the main big possibilities. But nobody's worried about the terrorists getting the one or two or Iran or Korea.
Oh, I'm worried about that.
It's all posturing.
I'm worried about that because Iran, the similarities that Iran and the W have in common is this religious background. And he's doing it for one reason, the W is doing it for another, and they both believe in their warped, demented minds.
No way.
That they're going to bring about the coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ.
Iran would be completely annihilated within seconds of them launching one single missile.
We can only hope, John. We can only hope.
They would be annihilated in bazillions of seconds.
Well, let's get back to the dumb, the dummy.
It's if the Soviet Union sides with them.
Right.
That we're in big fucking trouble.
Well, let's get back to the dummy. And here he says, but some seem not to have learned history's lessons.
That's right.
And who hasn't learned history's lessons? I think it's the goddamn regime in place right now. Okay? Let's just cover some facts for the past 5 years. Osama bin Laden was behind 9/11. We had to invade Iraq. Is that right, John?
Yeah, we had to invade Iraq.
Osama was behind it.
Unbelievable.
Even though they had nothing to do with 9/11, had no weapons of mass destruction, John. All the problems the U.S. is facing in Iraq is due to the American media. That's according to the dummy. It's because of the American media. And anyone who thinks differently supports terrorism and is a Nazi appeaser.
Okay, can I read you something?
Go ahead.
I'm going to read you something. I'm going to say guy number one and guy number two, okay? Guy number one says, why, of course, the people don't want war. Why would some poor slob on a farm want to risk his life in a war when the best he can get out of it is to come back to his farm in one piece? Naturally, the common people don't want war, either in Russia, nor in England, nor in America, nor for that matter in Germany. That is understood. But after all, it is the leaders of the country who determine the policy, and it is always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether it is democracy or fascist dictatorship or a parliament or a communist dictatorship. Guy number two says, there's one difference. In a democracy, the people have some say in the matter through their elected representatives. And in the United States, only Congress can declare wars. Number one guy says, oh, that is all well and good, but voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them that they are being attacked and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same way in any country, Scott.
And what's that called, John? That's called fascism.
That's right. And you know who said that?
Who said that?
Hermann Göring said that.
Nice.
He said that to a psychologist who was granted free access by the Allies to all the prisoners held in the Nuremberg jail.
Nuremberg.
He was being tried.
And we talked about this last podcast. Dissent is the most patriotic thing you can do. And
absolutely,
when people dissent, what does the dummy and the W come back with? You're not patriotic. You're the worst thing that can happen to America. Fuck you!
Yeah.
We're the best thing that can happen to America. Because we question your stupidity!
And that's what we're supposed to do as Americans.
Fucking A!
We're supposed to question the government.
And that's why there's the First Amendment, free speech. So there's an exchange of ideas. Not just one idea. Not just one idea that they're going to shove down
that's
our
right.
throats and try to make us believe. Shut the fuck up!
Easy, man.
It pisses me off, man.
You're gonna have to have an angioplasty.
I will.
We're gonna have to do one right here. You're gonna have to stick a balloon up your ass.
Yeah.
Widen your veins.
Stick one up my ass. It's just crazy.
Yeah, no doubt. It drives you insane, doesn't it?
It drives me insane. Now let's listen to our our commander-in-chief, John. Let's go on to the... now, he interviewed with Brian Williams from NBC.
Brian Williams.
And it was just like they were walking through New Orleans on the anniversary of Katrina, which Bush totally fucked up. And it's a joke. I only pulled out three clips, but we could pull out like 100 clips.
You know, there is a conspiracy theory about the Katrina thing.
And what is that?
That the dam was actually blown up. The retaining wall was blown up in that section to make sure it flooded the poor neighborhoods and not the rich.
Right.
Anyway, that's
if you're going to flood neighborhoods, let's flood the poor ones.
Yeah. So blow them.
I'm in total agreement right there.
Blow it up, Dr. Jones.
All right, so let's hear the first Brian Williams exchange, and this is about Iraq. He's going to ask him about Iraq. Go ahead, John.
A lot of Americans email me with their fears that, you know, some days they wake up and it just feels to them like the end of the world is near, and you go from North Korea to Iran to Iraq to Afghanistan,
okay,
and you look at how things have changed. How Americans are viewed overseas, mm-hmm, if that is important to you.
It's important
to
me.
Do you have any moments of doubt that we fought the wrong war? That there's something wrong with the perception of America overseas?
Well, those are two different questions. Did we fight the wrong war? And absolutely, I have no doubt. The war came to our shores. Remember that. We had a foreign policy that basically said, let's hope calm works. And we were attacked.
But those weren't Iraqis.
No, they were. They weren't. No, I agree. They weren't Iraqis. Nor did I ever say that Iraq ordered that attack. But they're part of. Iraq is part of the struggle against the terrorists.
Bullshit.
Now, in terms of image, of course I worry about American image.
Again.
We're great at TV, and yet we're getting crushed in the PR front. I personally do not believe Saddam Hussein picked up the phone and said to Al-Qaeda, attack America.
How could we be getting crushed in the PR front? You got the Goebbels Network. Well, how come they're not working it for you?
Yeah, and you pay off for news stories over in the Middle East. So what, you're still getting crushed because they know it's a bunch of bullshit.
Here's the strangest thing. The government press corps that actually goes over there that our tax dollars pay for, they said it's too dangerous to send them over there. So nobody's volunteered for it.
It is too dangerous. It's become a civil war.
The only people that have gone over there is the networks.
But it's between the Shiites and the Sunnis, John. It's not about terrorists. It's between these two different tribes that want to control the oil-rich regions of Iraq.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. It's not about terrorism.
And Saddam beat back the Shias for years. He beat him back and he kept it cool, even though he's a dictator, psychotic prick.
Well, how else are you going to keep it cool? Those people are out of their fucking minds, John. They think that they can blow themselves up and they're going to get 70 virgins. I mean, how stupid is that?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't even have that kind of crap over here with the Christians. You can't do that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, the Bush goes retro to avoid prosecution. Did you hear this one?
I didn't hear that one.
On August 23rd, the BBC reported that Amnesty International has brought war crimes charges against Israel for deliberately targeting civilians and civilian infrastructure as an integral part of Israel's strategy in its recent invasion of Lebanon. Israel claims that its aggression was self-defense, and what does it say here? President Bush maintains that Israel has the right to protect itself by destroying Lebanon. Bush blocked the attempt to stop Israel's aggression and is thereby equally responsible for war crimes. Indeed, a number of reports claim that Bush instigated the Israeli aggression against Lebanon.
Well, I'll agree that he had a hand in it, but I will not agree with the basic premise of that.
Hold on.
Okay.
Bush has other war crime problems. Benjamin Ferencz, a chief prosecutor of Nazi war crimes at Nuremberg, recently said that President Bush should be tried as a war criminal side by side with Saddam Hussein for starting aggressive wars, Hussein for his 1990 invasion of Kuwait, and Bush for his 2003 invasion of Iraq.
That's an outstanding segue to the next clip, but before we get to that, I still don't buy that. We talked about this last podcast. You said that Hezbollah would set off a mortar. They'd put it in a school.
Right.
They'd set it on a timer to go 30 minutes after they left, right by the school. They'd set it off, and then Israel had to respond, so they're bombing a school. But there's no Hezbollah there. Talk about cowardice, John. Talk about total fucking lameness. That is what Hezbollah is, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
But I may not know all the facts. But now go into the Brian Williams part, too, because we're going to talk about the W and his dad and the relationship that they have.
All right.
While you were at Kennebunkport this last weekend,
Kenna,
people talked about your relationship with your dad. Mm. People mentioned that former President Clinton has been a guest at Kennebunkport more often in the last few years than you have been.
Yes.
And there was a lot of speculation. Your spokesman, Tony Snow, recently all but said it's because of the way your father chose to end the first Gulf War that bin Laden saw weakness enough to strike the United States. Mm. Is there a palpable tension when you get together with the former president who happens to be your father? A lot of the guys who work for him are not happy with the direction.
Oh, now, listen, my relationship is adoring son.
Do you talk shop?
Sometimes, yeah, of course we do. But it's a really interesting question. I mean, it's
a really interesting question.
Theory at its most rampant. My dad means the world to me as a loving dad. He gave me the greatest gift a father can give a child, which is unconditional love. And, yeah, we go out and kind of float around there trying to catch some fish and chat and talk. But he understands what it means to be president. He understands I have information that he doesn't have. And he also understands how difficult the world is today. And I explain my strategy to him. I explained exactly what I just explained to you down there about how I view the current tensions. And he takes it on board, and he leaves me with this thought. I love you, son.
Who is he, Ricky Ricardo?
I know.
Listen
to this. This is from a soundboard that's years old. Ready?
Okay.
That's a very interesting question.
Well, that's what the W
that's
does.
That's all he ever says over and over again.
When it's a question that he's that they haven't prepared him for, that they haven't drilled into his monkey chimp head how to respond to it. He says it's an interesting question to try to gather his thoughts, whatever chimp-like thoughts he has. That's what he says. Yeah, that's an interesting question. Let me try to gather my thoughts on that question and try to respond. The other interesting thing about that is he blames his dad for bin Laden. He doesn't blame Clinton. He blames his dad for not following through and taking out Saddam the first time. And bin Laden saw a weakness and came after the U.S. because of that, which is a bunch of crap. If we had gone in and removed Saddam, bin Laden would have still hit on 9/11.
Well, yeah, right. And that's what cracks me up, too, is because Cheney said years ago, and we talked about this in a year ago podcast, something I read from the George Sr.'s book, that Cheney said, hey, look, it wasn't worth any American lives to chase Saddam into Iraq and then capture him and take him out, which was probably the best time to do it, because at that time, everybody was on our side. Everybody.
Right.
We had NATO, we had the entire national community on our side. And they said, no, it wouldn't be worth one soldier's life. Why is it worth over 2,000 now?
I don't 2,500, John.
I don't get it.
Because it's a war on terror. It's a war on terror and our freedoms.
You know, the UK proved it again. Again, this week, they proved it again. They caught some more people possibly working on a terrorist plot. And it was cops. It was detective work. Not a bunch of, you know, the Marines and the Army and those guys, they're all about war. They're all about, you know, kicking major ass. I mean, taking shit out, taking a hill. They're not detectives. They're not spies. They're not humanitarians. I mean, they have all other people to do that. These guys, their job is to go and blow shit up.
That's an excellent point, John. This war on terror is not about any type of front, any type of military interaction. It's about intelligence. It's about gathering intelligence to cut these motherfuckers off before they can act. It's not about invading fucking Iraq that didn't have weapons of mass destruction, that had nothing to do with 9/11, that had nothing to do with it, even though the W said that they had something to do with it, and then he took it back and said, no, they had nothing to do with it. And he should be a fucking war criminal, because Saddam didn't do a goddamn thing, and we went in there. And 2,500 of our soldiers are dead. And how many Iraqi civilians are dead? 30,000? 50,000? Right. Who fucking knows? This guy's a fucking idiot.
Well, it says under here, under the Nuremberg standard, Bush is definitely a war criminal. The U.S. Supreme Court also exposed Bush to war crimes charges under both the U.S. War Crimes Act of 1996 and the Geneva Conventions when the court ruled in Hamdan versus Rumsfeld against the Bush administration's military tribunals and inhumane treatment of detainees. President Bush and his attorney general agree that under existing laws and treaties, Bush is a war criminal together with many members of his government. To make his war crimes legal after the fact, Bush has instructed the Justice Department to draft changes to the War Crimes Act and to U.S. treaty obligations under the Geneva Convention.
So he can save his own ass.
That's right. Basically, he'll say that you and me are we could be tried under the War Criminals Act, but he cannot.
Or under the Patriot Act. We can be shipped off on a barge and executed 25 miles from shore.
That's exactly it.
And the other interesting thing about that clip is the greatest gift his dad has given him is unconditional love, which basically means the dad understands that he's a chimp. He's a mental patient.
Well, who wouldn't? I mean, it's your kid,
but you're my son.
That's
right. So no matter how bad you fuck up, I'm still going to love you.
That's right.
But I'm still going to invite Bill Clinton over more than you.
Because he's
have
smarter.
Wine. Right. And he's more enjoyable to have in conversation. Because all you can talk about, I don't know what the fuck you can talk about.
I don't want to hear about what God told you to do. I want to hear about how you banged this other broad in the Oval Office and got away with it.
Right.
That's fascinating.
Because it's a question of what is mean,
right,
John.
Right, and how your wife didn't shoot you in the face.
Right. All right, we got one more Brian Williams clip. Now, this one is about his reading habits, John.
All right.
And listen to the bullshit that he spins here. He All doesn't right. even answer the question. He deflects the question. A very specific question. And the bush dances around. He beats around the bush, John.
So to speak.
So to speak.
All right,
listen to this.
Here we go.
Please talk about what you're reading. As you know, there was a report that you have just read the works of a French philosopher. Can you tell us the backstory of Camus?
The backstory of the book?
Well, what led you to this?
I was in Crawford, and I said I was looking for a book to read, and Laura said you ought to try Camus. I also read three Shakespeare's.
Yeah.
Three Shakespeare.
You, just years ago, were reading the life story of Joe DiMaggio by Richard Ben Kramer, if memory serves. You've been on a Teddy Roosevelt reading kick. You and I discussed the last time we were here.
I'm reading about the Battle of New Orleans right now. I've got an eclectic reading list.
Eclectic, John. Eclectic.
A couple of books ago. Let me look. The key for me is to keep expectations low.
What?
Is that what everyone doesn't get?
I don't know, Brian, what they get or don't get. You know, my life. Here's the thing. The great thing about the presidency is you're totally exposed.
What?
And people spend a lot of time, particularly if you're making decisions and hard decisions, people spend a lot of time not only analyzing decisions, they analyze the decision maker. And I understand that. But a president must never let him get off, let that get him off track.
Even if you're frustrated that we're getting something wrong.
You have to do what you think is. If we're getting something wrong, we change it.
How have you been read wrong?
Oh, I don't know about read wrong. I mean, I frankly don't pay that much attention to it. I don't want to hurt people's feelings about it. You
know, still not watching television, huh?
I watched a good baseball game.
Oh, my God.
The W doesn't want to hurt our feelings, John.
Oh, by what?
By telling us how stupid we are. Because he's, because God talks
he's a
to him,
genius,
and he makes his decisions based on God and about Christianity, and he doesn't want to
throw up.
And what a goddamn joke! That's a joke, John. Doesn't it make you sick? It makes me sick. It makes me want to vomit. I want to vomit. Oh, I want to be in a vomitorium.
Since we're talking about Bush, you know, Lori sent us a nice story.
She did.
Yeah. A British television network plans to broadcast a dramatic documentary-style film about a fictional assassination of President Bush, the network's head said Thursday.
Head.
Did you hear about this?
I did.
It's not Phil's news, is it?
No, it's not from what Phil told me, no. Because he runs his news by
me.
Yeah,
I know. The program uses actors and digital manipulation of real footage to show a fictional account of Bush being gunned down after delivering a speech in Chicago. Peter Dale, the head of the More 4, told a news conference. Death of a President, which is the name of the movie, also scheduled to be shown at the Toronto Film Festival in September, focuses on all those linked to the pretend crime, including nearby anti-war protesters, suspect Secret Service guards, and investigators. More 4, it's the name of the TV station.
More 4.
Which is the digital offshoot of Britain's Channel 4 network, plans to show the program on October 9th. The White House declined to comment on the network's announcement, saying it would not dignify the program with a response. It's an extraordinary, gripping, and powerful piece of work, a drama constructed like a documentary that looks back at the assassination of George Bush as a starting point for a very gripping detective story, Dale told reporters. It's a pointed political examination of what the war on terror did to the American body politic, he said. Dale said he expected the film would upset some, but defended it as a sophisticated piece of work.
I got to tell you, John, I'm not even interested at all in seeing that.
Well, there was a photograph that came with this story. I don't have it here with the story. But there was a bald-headed guy kind of laying on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if that was you.
Was Well, he was laying on the ground, yeah. So you couldn't tell if his knuckles were dragging?
I don't know. I think he was dodging the bullet. He was not helping the president get out of the way. He was dodging the bullet.
I got to tell you, John, I could not care less about a fictional account of the W being assassinated.
I don't either, but I think it kind of says something, don't you think?
What does it say?
It says that there's some people that just aren't really happy with the guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's obvious. I'm not happy with him. You're not happy with him. There's two people right there. But we don't condone assassinating
him. No.
We condone the exchange of ideas.
Absolutely.
Keep talking. But you can't exchange ideas with the W. He's not able to comprehend ideas. He has a vision. He has a focus. That's what he's going for. God talks to him. He's going to do what he wants. Fuck all he is. I'm not listening.
Yeah.
And that's his policy. And I think it's a bunch of crap. I think he's too goddamn stupid to be the president. That's my opinion. Do I want to condone his assassination? No, I do not.
No.
Not at all.
No, I don't think that's what the point of that article was.
What is the point of the article?
Showing what would happen in that. I don't know.
Who cares? I don't care. I don't care what would happen. What would happen? Cheney would be the president?
Maybe.
Okay. Oh, I got to tell you. I'm the president now.
I'm going to shoot you in the face.
Whoa, I got to tell you.
No, I think that's a good point. You know, if something did happen to the president, according to this film, they would have to fill it in with exactly what they thought would happen afterwards.
Who cares? It can't be any worse than what's currently going on right now, is my opinion. I mean, this guy in charge has nothing going on upstairs. Absolutely nothing. So if he were to be...
I don't care about the substance, the film or anything, but I think it's interesting that some guy decided, mm-hmm. You know what, I'm going to push that envelope. And instead of just making an assassination movie about President Fred, I'm going to name the guy George W. Bush and make it after the actual sitting American president.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Are you going to see it? Are you going to watch it?
I don't know. I mean, I'm
have
not
no
going to go out of my way.
But if you're going to watch it, I'll come over and we can watch it.
Well, then you have to have some interest, don't you?
Only if you're interested.
Why?
Because.
What would be the point?
I don't know. What would be the point?
I asked you that question. Why would you answer with a question?
That's
idiot.
What I do. I take
like
the Socratic
the
method.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm like the W.
That's very interesting.
That's a very
question.
Interesting question.
That's a very interesting question. Dear John.
One last W news.
All right.
The W contradicts the Pentagon, John. There's no civil war in Iraq. In his weekly
Who cares?
USW said Iraq was not descending into civil war,
who cares?
Although violence
How many times
has increased.
Have we heard this?
Bush, who speeded up his studies to gain public support before the critical election in November and the anniversary of September 11th, defended the war in Iraq as an important part of the global
studies
fight
of what? Julius?
Against terror.
Julius?
Terror, John. The president claimed that future American generations will be faced with a Middle East ruled by terror states and radical dictators if the U.S. withdraws from Iraq. Bush noted that terrorists tried to drag Iraq into the Civil War by inciting sectarian fights. Thinking,
sectarian, you
whatever,
knucklehead sectarian.
That a democratic Iraq would spoil their plans. U.S. military and diplomatic officials discovered that very few Iraqis were actually involved in the sectarian battles in Iraq, Bush noted. So it's not Sunnis versus Shiites. It's the terrorists, John.
What terrorists?
They're stirring up all the trouble between them.
Did you read any of that Jill Carroll stuff?
No.
You remember that chick Jill Carroll from the Christian Science Monitor that got abducted?
Right.
Okay. Supposedly, we're fighting, I think, on the Sunni side, right?
I have no idea.
Okay. Anyway, I believe that's it.
I thought we were fighting for democracy, John.
Okay.
Not on one side or the
other.
Whatever.
But the people that abducted her said while they were fighting, one day they got their shit on and their bombs. They strapped them on. They walked out and they did some fighting and they came back and they're all covered in soot and dust and all this stuff. And the one guy turns to her and says, Americans are no longer number one on our list. The Shiites are number one on our list.
Nice.
So it was a Sunni. And somebody bombed a mosque, and they figured it was the Shiites. So now they're pissed off at the Shiites. And now the Shiites are number one on the Sunnis list. So it is like it's a civil war.
It is.
And we've heard this a brazillion times.
The Pentagon says it is. We say it is.
Everybody says it
is. The W says it's not.
No, it's not.
It's the terrorists.
So which fucking side of this civil war is the U.S. fighting on? So the U.S. is fighting for democracy.
That's right, John. Democracy.
So I don't understand how we export democracy.
Here's how. We go in, we topple the dictator, and then we let them vote. That's what we do.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay, so in the words of...
Mission accomplished, John. Shock and awe. Shock and awe.
So we're exporting democracy at the point of the end of a gun barrel, right?
Right.
Okay. That makes a whole lot
of sense.
That's
right.
I stole that quote from, I can't remember, some knucklehead on CNBC or something, or MSNBC. Exporting democracy at the barrel of a gun.
That's an outstanding quote.
It is.
It is.
God damn it. Who was the guy that said it to? I want to give him credit because I was like, whoa. And this guy was a Bush apologist forever. He wears a bow tie with long hair. What the fuck is his name?
Well, the thing we talked about from day one, John, is if you want a democracy, you got to fight for it yourself.
That's the whole point.
You don't have the W come in and fight for it for you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I'm with you.
All right. That's all the W's I got.
All right.
You got any more W?
No, I'm tired of talking about the W. I'm going to have another drink.
F the W. F the W.
Oops. Is Phil ready with his news?
Of course I'm ready. I've been fascinated listening to you banter back and forth about the W, and I have my own opinions about the W, but I'll keep those to myself.
A sphincter says what?
Because I'm a newsman, I should remain unbiased.
All right.
As they say. But I'm ready when you are, John.
All right.
With your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome, Phil.
And our first story tonight. Come on, Phil. What is the first story tonight? Our first story tonight, John.
Scott was asking you, not me.
This is more evidence that God does not exist. Our first story tonight. Preacher drowns while trying to walk on water in front of an entire congregation. A priest has died after trying to demonstrate how Jesus walked on water. Evangelist preacher Frank Cabali, 35, told his congregation he could repeat the biblical miracle. But he drowned after walking out to sea from a beach at the capital Libreville in Gabon, West Africa. One eyewitness said he told churchgoers he had a revelation that if he had enough faith, he could walk on water like Jesus or Jesus. He took his congregation to the beach saying he would walk across the Como Estuary, which takes 20 minutes by boat. He walked into the water, which soon passed over his head, and he never came back. Next story, John. Jesse Jackson, well on his way to becoming the ruler of the imaginary world where his opinion matters, pauses from bringing peace to the Middle East to solve the problems of striking teachers in Gary, Indiana. Next story, John.
Uh-oh. What happened here?
Next story, John.
A technical difficulty.
500-pound woman's joy at getting new large door for her home dampened by arrests of her husband and daughter for having sex in front of her. A 500-pound Chattanooga woman caretakers are behind bars. Channel 3 first told you about 52-year-old Peggy Johnson last month when Channel 3 helped highlight I'm sorry. Let me start over. A 500-pound Chattanooga woman's caretakers are behind bars after TTN first told you about 52-year-old Peggy Johnson last month when TTN helped highlight her need to install a larger door in her home. Now, Peggy's story takes a sad turn, John. Johnson's husband and her daughter are in jail. Everyone is excited for Peggy when she got her new door. Now she faces yet another challenge because Peggy is so heavy. She needs someone to take care of her 24 hours a day.
Oh.
Police say Peggy's husband and daughter were neglecting her by not feeding her or keeping her clean. When those allegations came to light, police discovered an even more disgusting twist, John. Now, I don't want to be neglected. I don't want to be sitting in my own urine, my own waste. Johnson said, at more than 500 pounds, Peggy Johnson relies on family and friends to care for her. Charles and Mary both was doing it, but then they got arrested last night, and I got nobody, John. I'm just stuck here, she said. Charles Johnson and Maurice Allen Nichols are charged with willful abuse, neglect, and exploitation of an adult. I depend on him a whole lot, and no, I don't want him in jail. I depended on him, and I hate to know what happened, but the officer said he was just going to keep letting it go on and on and on, Johnson said. On top of the neglect, the two are charged with incest for apparently having sex. Peggy says that's the most painful part, John. It's just sad and it hurts so bad for what's happened and what's been going on. And I really don't know the words to say, she said.
Skip a meal.
Now the news of the arrest put a damper on Peggy's hopes for a new life. I was so happy when my new door in and Charles even helped work on the door and everything. And so I could have a new life and I could go out and do things and we had places and that. And now this, she said. Next story, John.
Oh, so she can't use the toilet?
The average British woman spends an astonishing £36,903 on her hair in a lifetime. Wow. Dental bills considered smaller. Next story, John. Vanilla Ice is touring, if you consider performing in frat house living rooms to be a tour. The once famous hip-hop artist in the early 90s will take the stage at the Phi Kappa Tau House at 10 p.m. on Saturday, September 9th, following the University of Southern Mississippi's first home football game of the season. We're looking to do something bigger and popular than the bands we usually go with, said fraternity president Dalen Mason, 21, whose brother is the booking agent. He was able to get in touch with some artists in the price range. Mason said the show's cost is about 10 G's. We were able to get this kind of event through sponsorship from business around town, Mason said. Vanilla Ice is scheduled to play a few of his old school hits and some new songs, John. Next story. Disney Channel special explores different theories of what killed off the dinosaurs. Completely ignores the completely legitimate Noah's Ark theory. Next story, John. Is that smoke coming from your pants, or are you just happy to see me? A man accused of robbing an Orlando bank was nabbed after smoke was seen coming from his pants. Police say Kenneth Ray Brooks went to Centura Bank Friday afternoon and demanded cash. God. He tucked a wad of bills in his waistband by his other wad, but later roused the attention of the police when an explosive pack of dye in the cash was set off. 42-year-old Brooks was hospitalized with possible burns to his groin from the explosion. He has been charged with robbery. Next story, John.
Oh, God.
Star Wars nerds, prepare to get your geek on. A shot-by-shot comparison between the 77 and the 2004 version of Episode 4. May the lack of sex be with you. Next story, John.
You lovely fellas.
Good news, John. A 16-year-old boy awakened by a drunk 19-year-old girl coming into his bedroom.
Excuse me?
The good news, 16-year-old boy awakened by 19-year-old drunk girl coming into his bedroom.
Nice.
The bad news, she was still driving at the time. A car landed in the bedroom of 6-year-old Mitch Davis. Davis had recently moved his bed away from the wall to the other side of the room. If not, he could have been seriously injured. He might have died, California Highway Patrol's Greg Williams said. But Davis was uninjured, and the 19-year-old Catherine Armstrong was in jail on drunken driving charges.
Why are they all hillbillies?
Next story, John. German Chancellor Angela Merkel, named world's most powerful woman.
Powerful.
In related news, President Bush to give Condoleezza Rice sympathy back rub. Oh. Next story, John. Tired of passing out free A's, colleges begin evicting emo kids. A depressed Hunter College student who swallowed handfuls of Tylenol, then saved her own life by calling 911, was in for a surprise when she returned to her dorm room after the ordeal.
Supplies.
The lock had been changed on the door. She was expelled from the residence. The school informed her because she violated her housing contract by attempting suicide. The 19-year-old was allowed to retrieve her belongings in the presence of a security guard. Policies barring potentially suicidal students from campus dorms have popped up across the country in recent years as colleges have struggled to decide how best to curb an estimated 1,100 suicides per year, John. Excuse me. Next story, John. Chuck Norris supports Bible in school curriculum.
What?
Chuck Norris supports Bible in school curriculum. Any objections? Yeah, I didn't think so. U.S. film star Chuck Norris and his wife had joined the board of the National Council of Bible Curriculum and Public Schools. Chuck and Gina Norris said Thursday they made the move to help students understand the Bible's impact on history and literature. And I think all they have to do is listen to episode 2 of this podcast, John, to understand the Bible's impact on history and literature. We receive a lot of requests to get behind a lot of things, but it took us only a few minutes to know that we were to stand behind this important work. The Norrises said.
That's right, Phil.
The couple is featured in a popular television public service announcement that encourages citizens to bring the Bible back to America's public schools as an available elective course of study. The announcements are aired on several national networks. Next story, John. KKK.
Whoa, John.
KKK sends threatening letter to Louisiana mayor written in crayon. No word on whether or not they colored outside the lines on the enclosed picture. Mayor Virgil Penn said he fears for his family's safety after receiving a threatening letter from the Ku Klux Klan last week.
Klan.
The letter, which appeared to be written in crayon, contained only one sentence.
Crayon?
If you run again for office in the town of Boynton, Louisiana, you will die.
Oh, hell no.
Well, actually, it was three blanks. You will blank, 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 KKK. I guess the three blank letters mean I will die, said Penn Bonita's first black mayor. To be honest, I'm afraid not so much for me, but for my family. Penn, 37, is married with two children, one of whom still lives at home. He has qualified to run in the September 30th election against three opponents. Next story, John. Man who hid video camera in toilet to watch women pee is arrested by a giant banana. A pervert who filmed 30 women going to pee before the start of a Great North run was arrested by a giant banana. Sick Christopher Sawyer, 29, took a camcorder into the bushes where rumors... Where runners...
At the Bush's house?
At the Bush's house. Where runners were relieving themselves because toilet queues were too long. Oh. A husband saw him and gave chase, and he was caught by a runner dressed as a banana who held him until cops arrived. Sawyer faced jail last night after being convicted of voyeurism at Newcastle Crown Court. Prosecutor Tim Gitton told him, "You got sexual gratification from it." The 13-mile half marathon began in Newcastle last September. One of the women forced to pop into the woods said, "I glanced up and he was looking at me." Sawyer admitted filming 30 women but denied breaking the law, saying he did it. "It's not something you see every day." But cops found more footage of the woman relieving themselves at outdoor events at his home in Jarrow, South Tyneside. He was bailed until sentencing, but ordered to report to police when the next Great North Run takes place on October 1st, John. And the next and last story tonight.
Oh, God.
For future reference, John and Scott, in any argument, the drunken, angry guy carrying a bucket of vomit is going to win. A man was admitted assaulting a woman by pouring a basin of vomit over her head in Aberdeen. Father of three, James Russell Forey, carried out the attack following an alcohol-fueled argument at the house. The victim was holding the basin when Russell took it from her and hit its contents over her head. Sheriff Kenneth Stewart deferred sentence on Russell for 6 months to allow him to be of good behavior. Senior Fiscal Deputy Jim Cragen said, before this indictment took place, a fair amount of alcohol had been taken. And that's the news, child.
All right. Thanks again, Phil.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Scott.
Very witty.
And thank you, God. It was a pleasure to meet you today in part two. Yeah. And I stayed around for all six parts.
That's out of sight.
No doubt, John.
Is Scott here?
Yeah, of course I am. What's up?
No, not Scott. God.
Oh, God? Yeah. I don't know. Is God here?
I don't know.
Hold on.
Yes, I'm back.
Well, we'd like to thank God for joining us.
Thank you, John. And actually, I never left because I am God. I am everywhere. I am benevolent and omnipresent.
Omnipotent.
I can't remember. What am I?
Omnipotent.
That's what I am.
Omnipotent.
Yeah, I didn't make up the language.
All right, well, we'd like to thank our guests, Rick and Dr. George.
Dr. George. Don't forget Dr. George.
God and Phil McCracken.
Always a pleasure. Just let me know when you want me to come back.
We're hoping Satan will come by, too. You guys
How can we
go
tell
him
it. Apart?
I don't know.
Of course not. I could be very civil with Satan because right. I'm God. I'm omnipotent and benevolent.
Can you do an imitation of Satan?
My imitation of Satan? Yes, it would be something like this. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Six! Six, six!
The number of the beast!
That was terrible, dude.
Dude, don't call me dude.
Right.
I am God, the Almighty.
I'm sorry.
Fucking A.
I'm sorry.
Man. I also listen to Punky.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'm trying to, but I can't seem
right,
to do it.
Get the fuck out.
You think God would be able to perform any miracle? But I have so far failed.
You don't have an iPod, huh?
In providing Tony Hearn with bits.
With bits, you mean like balls?
Yes,
or?
I try every day. And I cannot get bits in Tony Hearn.
All right, then.
It may be genetic.
All right, thank
I'm
you
not
for
sure.
All right.
My pleasure.
Just get the fuck out. You've talked enough.
All right, then.
All right. Bye-bye. No, we don't need that right now. Somebody turn his mic off.
I think he left.
Does he have a mic? I don't think so.
No, he of course he doesn't have a mic. You don't have to set God up.
All right, Phil, take it easy, man. All right. He's getting the hell out of here. He's had enough.
I have had enough.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Take
bye
care.
All, yes.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye,
all right, again, this is, we're way over.
Way
An
over.
Hour seven.
66 part six,
oh,
John.
Oh, my God.
So you got to listen to part one, two, three, four, five, and then six.
Okay.
That's fan-fucking-tastic. Hey, John, we didn't get any phone messages. What's
no.
our phone number? We got to give people our phone number.
It's 847-TTN-GIZ, G-I-Z-D, or 847-886-4493, 847-886-4493. Check out the t-shirts and the other gear. We actually have G-strings for the ladies. You could click it right from our website, right to the Cafe Press. Just click where it says get your TTN gear here. Boom, and you're there.
Boom, John. Boom.
You can get any, even a mouse pad.
Boom, shakalaka. And I'm gonna put out a challenge to a fellow podcaster tonight, John.
Oh, really?
Yes, Eric from the Mediocre Show. Now he leaves a lot of comments for us, but do we really know it's the real Eric from the Mediocre
right.
Show?
I've never heard him say anything about us. They talk about Frank Witt on their show. But they never talked about us.
Right.
And we talk about them all the time.
Who cares about that? Here's what I'm challenging.
No, I do. Fuck you. Who cares about that?
Okay, so you're...
Exchange of ideas, Scott.
Yeah, the exchange of ideas.
The world according to Scott.
Yeah, the exchange of ideas, as long as they promote John of Total Talk Nonsense, as long as they give John some security because he's so insecure like an emo kid.
Wow, anyway, dude.
Settle down,
man.
Here's my challenge. Here is my challenge for
Eric tomorrow yesterday.
To call up the TTN line and leave a message with the names that he has for us. The pseudo, names.
That's a challenge.
That he has for us. That's a challenge.
All right, then.
Because is it really Eric tomorrow leaving comments? Or is it an imposter?
Right.
And he can clear it all up.
Yeah.
By calling and leaving a message.
All right. Well, thanks for hanging out and listening to the show, because this is a long fucker.
Long one.
This one's going to be one of those long train rides. Probably 2 days worth of listening.
2 days, John.
No doubt.
Six parts. That's a lot.
That's right. Yeah. So tricky. All right. Thanks for listening. I'm John.
I'm Scott.
Of AKC's Total Talk Nonsense. We're out of here.
Later.
Later.
You're listening to John and Scott
on Total Talk Nonsense.